Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Ayin Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Vov. As you can see, we have a long Tanaic source, and we continue with our discussion concerning the mon, the food that the Jews ate in the wilderness that the Almighty provided. The topic heading that you see on the side of the Gemara reads, under the Noseh heading, Lomo Hamon Yorad Kol Yom Velo Pam B'Shona. Why did the mon fall, become available to the people every day and not on a an annual basis, or with a longer gap between fallings, and they would keep it in storage until the next falling, the next time for it to become available? Why was it set up this way? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu provide it on a daily basis and not on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis? The Gemara. Shalu Tamidov es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Mipnei ma lo yorad lehem Yisrael mon pam achas b'shana. So the students of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asked him, why is it that the mon doesn't fall to the Jews once a year? You can see that we have a numbering system, and we numbered along the side of the Gemara different answers. So this is the first. Omar lehem, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai answers, em sholochem moshol, I'll give you an analogy. Lema hadover dome. What is this comparable to? Lemelech boser v'dom sheish lo ben echod. Imagine a mortal king that has one son. Posak loy mezoynoisov pam achas b'shana. He provided an expense account for 1 year. Velo hoyo makbil penei ovo velo pam achas b'shana. The son, feeling that he was provided for with the financial wherewithal for a year, so the next time he felt necessary to greet his father was a year later. Well, the father sees that he's not having much contact with his son that way. Omaru posak mezoynoisiv b'chol yoyim. He therefore decided to allocate his finances on a daily basis. Voyamak bil penei oviv kol yom, and the son visited his father every day. Af Yisrael, mishi yesh lo arba v'chamisha bonim. So too with the Jewish people, a person that has 4 or 5 sons, hoya doyeg v'yomer, he was worried and concerned, shemo lo yered mon l'mochor, v'nimso kulon mesim, maybe the mon won't fall tomorrow, and all of my children will die berov, in famine. Nimsu kulon mechavnin es libon laviyem shebashamayim. And with this daily concern on their minds, they focused their hearts unto the Almighty. This is one source of many throughout the Shas, where you see the Almighty has a kivyochol, a great desire for the people, for his people, to turn to him in prayer, to be connected And at times, in fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu can bring misfortune upon people simply because he wants them to pray unto him. He wants a connection with us. And with that in mind, a person can theoretically preempt negative situations by praying and keeping well connected when times are good, when a person feels a feeling of good health, financial security, pleasure from his family, etc. During those times, a person should open his heart in prayer to the Almighty to preserve the good that he has, to benefit others, or whatever. The idea being to maintain a connection with the Ribbono Shel'olam, with the Almighty. And you can see that very clearly illustrated over here in our Gemara, and as we said as well, as you see this as well in other Gemaras in the Shas. Nimsu kulon mechavnen es libon aviyam sheba shamayim, with this daily provision of food, people at the time not realizing necessarily that they would be provided for every day, they prayed. And it could very well be, it's only because of those prayers that in fact they were provided for. But as we said, this was all part of a scheme or of a plan to maintain a close connection with the people. Dovar Acher, another explanation of why every day, Shoyu Ochlem Oisoy Kishucham, they had it, Cham means while it was warm or while it was fresh. Dovar Acher, Mitnei Masui Haderech. This way, they wouldn't have a burden. They wouldn't have to carry a year's supply of food with them as they were traveling. So they were able, this enabled them to travel lightly without the extra burden of so much food to carry. Ukvar hoya Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shmuel Zakenim, Yoshevoisim Beparshas Hamon. There was an occasion where Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Shmuel and other elders were sitting and delving into the topic of the Mon, Voya Rebelozer Hamodoy Yoshe Bineam, and Rebelozer Hamodoy was present there as well. Nana Rebelozer Hamodoy, the Omar, Rebelozer spoke up and said, Mon Shiar Lohem, the Israel, Hoyogavoa Shishim Amo. Rebelozer Hamodoy said that the Mon that fell to the Jews fell in a pile or in a heap measuring 60 Amos. Roughly speaking, 60 amos is 30 meters. Very high pile of food. Omar lo Rabbi Tarfon. Upon hearing this, Rabbi Tarfon says, Modoi ad mosai ato megabev dvorim umevi aleinu. The expression megabev is, Rashi simply says, me'ayin l'cho. Where did you get that idea from? Omar lo, so Rabbi Elozar Modoy says, Rabbi, addressing Rabbi Tarfon, says, Rabbi, mikro ani doresh. My 60 amo statistic is based on a pasuk. And here we have a long answer. Notice the long answer marking. It takes all of this to develop his point. What's the pasuk? So before we get into the actual Gemara text, let's mention the idea outside. He bases the 60 amo number on a pasuk found in the case of the flood waters in the time of Noach and the Mabel, and the pasuk describes the flood waters as reaching a level of 15 amos above above ground. And we'll see more when we say above ground what we mean, but 15 amos above ground. And that 15 amos is described in the Torah as Arubos HaShamayim. The Gemara points out first of all, an Aruba is an opening or a window. The Gemara points out that a standard door has four arubos in it. That word arubos in the case of the flood appears in the plural. So it's the minimum plural is two arubos. Two arubos is responsible for 15 amos of accumulation of water depth. When it comes to the mon, there's a posuk that mentions dalsei shamayim posach. Dalsei are doors in the plural. So minimum plural are two doors. Amongst two doors, you would have eight arubos, because one door has four arubos, two doors, eight arubos. Well, two two arubos was responsible for 15 amos. Well, how many two arubos do you have in two doors? Well, since two doors constitutes eight arubos, that's four times the amount of water in the flood. Four times 15. That gets you to a depth of 60 amos of mun. That's the basic calculation that we will see in the Gemara. Now the text. Rabbi Elozer Hamodoy says, I am based on the pasuk Chomesh Esrei Amo Milamalo Govru Hamayim Vayechasu Heharim. The pasuk translated means 15 amos of water above the mountains. It covered 15 amos of water depth covered the mountains. Now, when you read the pasuk on a fairly literal basis, you could think v'chi chomesh esrei amo be'emek chomesh esrei beharim. Does it mean that there was 15 amos on the mountains and 15 amos of water in the valleys, so that the water flooded in a layer-like fashion, that in low-lying areas there was 15 amos of water depth there, and on the top of the mountains there was 15 amos above the mountains. So, v'chi mayo shuri kaimi, is it possible that the water simply covered the land masses in layers like that? The oteva heche sakya. Furthermore, how could the teva, the ark, or the boat that Noah had constructed, how could it sail in such a situation? So obviously that is not what things look like. Elo meikoroksiv nifku kol mainos toim rabo. Initially, what happened, the pasuk says, that the waters of the depths broke open so that the water level rose based on underground sources of water. Ad ashvu mayo bahadi turi. The water level from underground waters that rose, they rose so high, rising to the level of the tops of the mountains. So the world was inundated by earth, internal earth-based waters, subterranean waters. V'hodar, and then, after the waters covered the entire surface of the world, Chomesh Esrei Amo Milamalo Govru Hamayim, then, we'll call the upper waters rain. The rain was responsible for an additional 15 amos of water depth, so that the world was uniformly inundated with a flood 15 amos above the highest point. The chieze mida meruba, mida toiva o midas puranas. In looking at the ways of the Almighty, when He wants to bestow good or punishment, which does he perform in a greater quantity? Heve omer mida toiva meruba mimidas puranas. Let it be known that He bestows more good than He would punishment. Rashi quotes the sources for that based on psukim. Bemidas puranas hu omer, regarding the flood. The puranas is the punishment of the flood. The pasuk says, Varubos hashamayim niftachu, and the windows of the heavens opened up. Bemida toiva hu omer, vayitzav shchoki mimal, vidalse shamayim posoch, vayamter aleimon lechol, udigan shamayim nosan lomoy. When describing the support, the food Hashem provides from the Shamayim, the pasuk refers to Dalsei Shamayim. Notice we've dashed underlined the key words. We have dashed underlined Arubos and dashed underlined Dalsei. Vitona, Kamo Arubos Yesh Bedelis. In one door, how many Arubos are there? Arba. There are four Arubos in a door. These are just given numbers, accepted forms of architecture and carpentry. Doors have four arubos. That's one door, four arubos. Now, if the pasuk made reference to two doors, so arba, that means an additional four because of the plural appearance of the word dalsei. Harei kan shmoina. So, between the two doors, you have eight arubos. Now, if two arubos is 15 amo, so four times that, four times two is eight, so four times 15 will get you to 60. Nimtza mon shiur lehem l'Yisrael gavoa shishim amo. The result of this calculation is that the mon that fell for the Jews reached a level or a depth of 60 amos. Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Mon Shior Lehem Lisrael, Hoya Mizgaber Voila, Ad Shiroi Noisei Kol Malche Mizrach Umarov. Isi ben Yehuda claims that as the Mon fell, it rose and rose and rose until all the kingdoms of the east and west could see it. Shinemar, Taruch Lufonai Shulchon, Neged Sorai. The pasuk goes on to say, "Dishanta b'Hashem en Roshi kosi rivoya." The point being is that the taruch l'fonai shulchan, the shulchan is a table upon which people eat. So it's a reference to the food, the mon, and neged soroi, that all the other oppressing forces of the world could see this. Omar Abaye commenting on this pasuk in Tehillim, which is. Which is authored by David HaMelech, he says, Kosi Rivoya, my cup, Kosi, my Kos Rivoya, Omra by Shmamina, Kosa, to David, the word Kosa, don't misunderstand this word, Kosa means the cup of David Lamadasi in the future, Moson, the Esrin, Vechad, Luga, Machzik, it will contain 221 lug. Lug is a liquid measure. And how do you get to that number? Shinema kosi rivoya. The posuk we just quoted in rivoya b'gematria hochi hafa. The numerical value of the word rivoya is 221. Of course, as we've said many times in our Gemara markings shiurim, this is a Gemara that has hints and remozim to deeper ideas, and of course that's beyond the purview of a Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shir. So we've presented the translation as it is, but recognizing that there's much more to it than we just read. The Gemara now asks a question on Reb Elozer Hamodoi's calculation. He calculated 60 amos of depth based on the flood. But holo damyo, they're incomparable. Hasam ba'arboin yomin. There was a water accumulation over a period of 40 days. Hacha, with regard to the mon, chadashaita was one moment. It was the moment of its falling. Another difference. Hasam l'kuli alma. There, the water covered the entire world. Hacha l'Yisrael l'chudei. Here, it's a much smaller area. It's just the Jewish people. V'nofish l'hutfei. And that discrepancy would then account for much greater depth of mon. Elo, Reb Elozer Modoi. So how did Reb Elozer HaModoi, recognizing this significant difference, how did he come to his conclusion of 60 amos? The answer to that is psicha, psicha gomar. He came to that conclusion by virtue of the fact that there is a gzera shova. There's a word comparison. You have the term Pesach, or opening up. We have Arubos HaShemayim Niftechu, and we have Dalsei Shemayim Posach. Niftechu and Posach, the same root there, meaning opening. So, because of this word comparison, so I know that to compare the statistics we find by the flood to that which is the case by the mon. And not because of any other reason do I make the comparison other than the word comparison, and that gets me to the conclusion of the 60 amos. Osir Bachilo, our Mishnah mentioned that Yom Kippur is forbidden in eating food. And the Mishnah went on to list five forms of inui, of affliction, of deprivation that one is to experience on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, "Hani chamisha inuyim keneged mi." The five forms of deprivation the number five corresponds to what? Keneged mi, corresponding to what? Omar Rav Chisda, keneged hei or chamisha inuyim shebatorah. It corresponds to the five times the Torah mentions ta'anu es nafsho sechem, and here the Gemara in very brief lists the five sources. These are psukim, and they're listed on the side. Be'alsar, you notice the pasuk reference, you have Bamidbor Perichov Tes, Vayikrichov Gimel, etc. Ube'alsar, Ve'ach Be'alsar, Shabbos Shabboson, Ve'Shabbos Shabboson, V'Hoysa Lochem. The Gemara asks, when you make reference to five inuyim, and you look in the Mishnah, you actually see six. Hani chamisha havu? Or rather, when you look at these sources, you see we can account for five, but in the Mishnah, there is a list of six inuyim. So the Gemara asks, Hani chamisha havu? There are five sources, v'anan shiso tanan, but in our Mishnah, we have six examples of inui. We saw achila, shtia, those are two, sicha, the anointing, ni'ilas ha-sandal, the prohibition of wearing shoes, so bathing, rechitza, and tashmish hamita. So you have six deprivations and only five sources. The Gemara answers, you don't need six sources because shtia b'chlal achilohi. Drinking is included within eating. So once the Mishnah establishes that Yom Kippur is prohibited in eating, when it says also drinking, it really is, you count them as one, because shtia bichlal achila, shtia is included within eating. Diyomer Reish Lakish, minayin l'shtia shehi bichlal achila. Reish Lakish raises the question, from where do you know that drinking is considered a subcategory or is considered a part of eating? And we start a marking system, a series of diamonds with double underlines that follow on the side. We explain it under our Nosei Mivne heading. The diamonds represent Nisyonos Lochiach Tishtia B'chlal Achila. These are attempts to show this point that drinking is a subcategory or included within eating. As we go along, the suggestions are rejected, and that is highlighted with a double underline, Vidilma, and they represent the Chios, rejections. So the first attempt is the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is the obligation of tithing one's produce. One-tenth is taken off on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, and the food is taken to Yerushalayim where one eats it there. And if he has a large quantity that's too difficult for him to carry, so he redeems the food onto cash, brings the money to Yerushalayim, and buys food there and eats it in Yerushalayim. So the pasuk in with regard to Meisur Sheni says, "V'ochalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha masar degoncha tirosh tzarecha." We should point out, and with that, we've dashed underlined key words, "V'ochalta" and "tiroshcha." Tirosh equals chamrahu. Tirosh is taken to refer to wine. It means wine. V'kori lei v'ochalta, and the pasuk says, "V'ochalta," and you shall eat. So what do we see? We see that a beverage and its form of consumption is called eating. That means shtia, drinking, b'chlal achila, is included within eating. The Gemara asks, Mimai, how is this so convincing? V'dilma di'achle al yadei anigron. Maybe the reference to wine and eating is a reference to anigron. Anigron is a food preparation that as part of its preparation wine is added. So when the pasuk says you're going to eat wine, it really is a reference to eating a nigron, which is a, as we say, it's a dish that part of the ingredients include wine. The Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, a nigron, maya de silka. A nigron is based on boiled silka. Silka is a type of vegetation, and wine is added to that. Achsigron, maya de kulu shalki. And there's another food item called achsigron, which is the result of boiling other kinds of vegetables. For our purposes, though, we don't have a source that shtia is bichlal achilas, included or a subcategory of eating. To restate that, we don't have a clear source yet that the act of imbibing, of drinking, is referred to as achilah, as eating. Elo Omar of Acha Bar Yaakov. This is the second attempt. Mehocha. V'nosato hakesef b'chol shirtav v'nafshecho. And we should point out this pasuk is again a reference to Maaser Sheni, and we gave the introduction to this, the idea of the money that you upon which you redeemed the Maaser Sheni. So you take the money to Yerushalayim, and there in Yerushalayim you give the money for that which you desire, b'chol shirtav l'nafshecho, in terms of food. You're not allowed to buy a new car in Jerusalem with Maaser Sheni money, but you are to buy food that you will eat there. Babokor, uvatzon, bayayin, ubashechor. And on the side, very important that you note the continuation of the pasuk. It says, ובכל אשר תשאלך נפשך ואכלת שם לפני השם אלוקיך ושמחת אתה וביתך. Now, this pasuk has words that need to be emphasized. We've seen ביין ובשחר, and we see ואכלת. Now, יין is wine. Shechar is ostensibly something that creates intoxication, maybe beer. Shechor v'yayin shtiyahu. Shechor and yayin, we explained, could very well be a reference to beer and wine, are beverages. V'kai rachmona v'yochalta. And you can, as we saw in the pasuk, the verb v'yochalta is used. So the consumption of these beverages is described by the verb v'yochalta or achila, and that would show us that beverage consumption, which we call shtia, is bichlal achila. The Gemara asks, how is this convincing? Mimai v'dil mahochanami di achle al yedei anigron. So what? You have wine and you have ochata. Maybe it means that you're eating the anigron dish, which is a dish to which wine is added. But its consumption is not through what we call drinking. Moses says, no, you can't say that it's anigram, because shechor kosav, the word shechor appears in the pasuk, midi demeshakir, something that creates intoxication. And the thinking right now is that there's no intoxication through eating, so it must be that it's drinking. And the pasuk said v'yachalta. The Gemara rejects this too. V'dilma d'velo ke'ilis, maybe the reference to shechar, something that's intoxicating, is in fact a food item. Now, we will show you a source, but the topic of the source is the prohibition of entering the Beis Hamikdash and serving there in a state of inebriation, a state of drunkenness. So the source says, Ochal dvelo kilis. If a person ate Devela, Kilis Devela, or pressed figs. Kilis is the name of a place. He ate the figs of Kilis, Vishosa Dvash V'cholav, and drank honey and milk, V'nichnas L'mikdash, and entered the base HaMikdash, Loike, he is subject to lashings. As we said, there is a sin to enter the base HaMikdash in a state of intoxication. So as far as seeing a clear source that shtia b'chlal achila, we don't see it from here. Ela yolif shechar shechar minazir. We have a gezerah shava. We have the term shechar in the context of Meiser Sheni, where you see the word v'achalta, and we have another topic called Nazir. Nazir is one who swears to abstain from vine products, grape-based products. Now, we go on in the Gemara and say, Mala halon yayin, just like in the case of Nazir, it's not a reference to a nigron, it's a reference to wine. Afkan yayin. So too here, where, with regard to Meiser Sheni, it means wine. And wine is not mishaker, it doesn't create intoxication other than through drinking. And you see the word, the achalta, is used. Now, we have to add a point that I think is of central importance, just to understand the simple pshat in this Gemara. When the Gemara says, Yolef Shecho Shecho Minozir, there's a comment made by the Tosis Yishonim. You can see this in the lower part of the page, toward the bottom, in the wide lines, we have a starred section of the Tosis Yishonim. Shecho Shecho Minozir, Ubenozir Yayin Mamishu. You have to say, this is critical, that in the case of Nozir, where the word Yayin appears, it means the beverage wine. And how do you know that? We don't want a situation where we're chasing our tail, and we'll end up telling you that in the case of Nozir, it's also a reference to anigron, and so I will have gained nothing. So it's important for us to establish that in the case of Nozir, it is definitely the beverage wine. And how do we know this? Dichtiv, the pasuk says choymetz yayin v'choymetz shechar. Those expressions appear in the context of Nozir, and choymetz is a reference to vinegar. The idea of chometz, creating vinegar, is applicable only when you're dealing with the beverage wine. So we see that the use of the term yayin by Nozir is the beverage wine. Now, with the word connection shechar shechar, that brings us back to Meiser Sheni, and in the case of Meiser Sheni, you see the word v'achalta. So if you link it all up together, you get v'achalta, the beverage of wine. Well, that means that you're drinking the wine, and shtia, drinking, is a subcategory of achila, shtia b'chlal achila. So at this point then, we would have the source we were looking for. We now we turn back, we have an arrow indicating to go back to Omid Aleph, and as we skim down the next few lines of Gemara, you'll notice triangles appearing in two different directions. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivne heading featuring triangles. Diyun b'mal tirosh. There will be a discussion as to what is tirosh. Yayin, eino yayin, is it wine or not? Well, anova, maybe it means grapes. Haychochos b'shnei kivunim. We'll see proofs brought in two directions. With the triangle point facing up, and there's only one of those here, lohochiach d'lav yayin. It will be an attempt to show that it's not wine. And the inverted triangles will be dedicated to showing that it's chokhus to have a yayin. And as we said, this is a continuation of the point mentioned on Omid Aleph. You'll notice five lines from the bottom. In attempt number one, we said that the pasuk said by Meiser Sheni v'chatut neshem lekech mas degonachov ti roshecha. And the Gemara said with a certain amount of certainty that tirosh is chamra, is wine. The Gemara asks, the tirosh chamra hu, is tirosh wine? The Hotanya, we have the following source. Hanodir mina tirosh, one who swears not to benefit from tirosh. So what is he forswearing? Also b'chol mine masika, he is forbidding himself from all kinds of fresh, sweet fruits. What Rashi cites, tapuchim, anovim, Umutar b'yayin, he is allowed, even though he vowed not to benefit from tirosh, that does not include wine. This is a source, we're going to refer to this as the source from Nidorim. Nidorim, the topic of vows. You see very clearly that you forswore benefiting from tirosh. You're allowed to benefit from wine. Apparently, wine is not tirosh. Otherwise, he wouldn't be allowed to benefit from it. That having been said, the Gemara doesn't respond, but rather presents a question in the opposite direction. V'lav chamrahu. Then tirosh is not wine? V'hoksiv. We have a pasuk that says v'tirosh yinuvav besulos. Without giving a literal definition or translation of this pasuk, just be aware that the word besulos is a virgin. So the pasuk is describing, and let's look at it together in Rashi, v'tirosh yinuvav besulos ze yayin toiv. This is a reference to good wine, shu meshakir sodom. It intoxicates a person, and legalu sisrei libo atumim kibesula, to reveal the secrets that are covered up in his heart, as is a virgin sealed shut. So what you see, this pasuk is a reference to opening up someone's secrets, getting someone to talk. What gets someone to talk? A good cup of, or a few cups of good wine. It'll get him nice and drunk and he'll open up. So this shows us that tirosh is wine. As we said, wine gets you to open up. The Gemara says no. Tirosh is our grapes. And what is the meaning of the pasuk? Dover habo min hatirosh, a product of grapes, yinuvav besulos, will open you up. So it's true that wine is that which is opening you up, but it doesn't mean that tirosh is wine, but rather it is that which comes from tirosh. Grapes, the wine that's made from tirosh, will open up a person. So at this point, then, tirosh does not mean wine, necessarily. But doesn't it mean wine? V'tirosh yikovecho yifrotzu. The word yekev in modern Hebrew is associated with a winery. Technically speaking, it is a pit. It's a pit into which wine flows. So, simply put, grapes are not stored in pits. If you like puns and all, the grapes might have pits in them, but you don't have grapes in the pits. I hope that we're not sounding too confusing already, but the pit we're referring to is a hole dug in the ground used for storing things. But people don't store grapes in those boros, in those pits. What is stored in pits, in holes, and what is stored there? In fact, wine. There's such a thing as a wine press, and the wine flows out of the press into a pit. So the posuk that says the tirosh yikovecha yifrotzu, it must be a reference to wine that will fill and overflow your pits. The Gemara says no, it means grapes. So what do grapes have to do with the pits? Simply dover habo minat tirosh, the product from your tirosh, i.e. the wine, yikovecho yifrotzu, will overflow your pits. Question. V'hoksiv znus v'yayin v'tirosh yikach leiv. And this yikach leiv is a reference to drunkenness. The eating of grapes does not lead to drunkenness. So tirosh must mean wine. Elo de kule almo tirosh chamrohu. Everyone will agree that tirosh is, in fact, wine. But if that's the case, the topic from Nidorim, the source we had, three lines from the top, the first triangle with the point that was actually facing upwards, is that not a problem? Did we not see over there a person vowed not to benefit from tirosh, and he was allowed to drink wine, indicating that wine is not tirosh? The Gemara answers, ubenedorim haloch achar loshon b'nei odom. By the way, the arrow to the immediate right-hand side is to be aligned with the source above, so that you can see that that's the Nedorim source. And the Gemara's answer is that in the realm of vows, vows are determined by the way people speak. True, on a scriptural level, tirosh means wine. But in the way people speak, when they want to refer to wine, they say yayin, they say wine. They don't refer to wine by the word tirosh. In the form of speech, or common speech, tirosh in people's minds means grapes. Grapes or other sweet things. So, as a result of that, it's not the normal way of people to refer to wine by the term tirosh. Therefore, if a person forswore benefiting from tirosh he won't benefit, but from wine he will. V'amai kori le yayin, v'amai kori le tirosh. You had, in fact, in the pasuk, just four lines above, znus v'yayin v'tirosh yikachlev, you have in one pasuk, wine is referred to, and tirosh, which we're explaining also means wine. Why is it called by these two terms? The Gemara explains. Yayin, the word yayin, shemevi yololo li'olam. It brings moaning and catastrophe to the world. When there is drunkenness and lack of control, so it brings yololo. The word yayin has to do with crying and wailing as a result of setback. That Rashi says, losha yayin loshem ta'aniyav yololo. The word yayin is an expression associated with moaning and wailing. Rashi adds, which we didn't say, shemevi yololo al yadei yayin, through drinking wine, rav hani'uf, that increases immorality. And unfortunately, this comment and this observation is timely and timeless. That when there is drunkenness, there is also immorality, and upuranus ba'al the olam, and that arouses heaven to bring punishment upon the world. The Almighty cannot tolerate the situation of ni'uf. Ni'uf is a life of immorality. And immorality is associated with intimacy, prohibited, illicit intimacy. This is something that when you see a situation like that continuing and expanding and becoming more and more accepted, you know that the future does not bode very well. So yayin is associated with yolala, with moaning and wailing. Tirosh, shekolam is garaboy, nase rosh. Anyone who pursues, who is seduced by wine, or is aroused, and as a result of that pursues wine, becomes intoxicated, becomes alcoholic, so he becomes rosh. Tirosh, from rosh, meaning impoverished. In order to maintain the habit, you're going to be spending a lot of money. Rav Kahana Rumi. We have a marking here, and on the side under our Mivne heading, Rumi. Hesber Shinuim Bein Haksiv Akri B'Shnei Milim Akshurim B'Ayin. We're going to feature two words in the next couple lines, Tirosh and Yisamach. And we're going to be looking at the way the letters appear, and we're going to contrast that with the way the word is pronounced. And we want to make sense or justify or explain both aspects, the way it's written and the way it's read. So Rav Kahana Rumi. Rav Kahana raises this contrast. Ksiv, in writing the word, what we call Tirosh, Tof Yud Resh Shin. Vikarinon, and we read it Tirosh, as if there is a vav there. So, Zoha Nase Rosh. If he merits. Rashi says, lishtos lefimido, drinking a proper amount. He knows how to, let's say, contain himself, doesn't go over the limit, so he becomes the head. There's the comment is made in the Shas, how chamra v'reichni pikfi, how wine opens you up, opens up your mind, enables you to think more clearly, be sharper. So that is fine and true if you are drinking within the limitation, where you don't lose it. That's Zochon Asarosh. Because of the increased sharpness that he has, he becomes the head. Lo Zocha Nase Rosh. And that's the way the word is written. T Rash. Rash means he becomes impoverished. If he doesn't know how to limit his wine consumption, goes overboard, and as we described before, he might become addicted to it, and it's going to cost him a lot of money. He'll lose his funds, becomes poor, and we can explain becoming poor because he becomes drunk, he can't control his own accounts, his own finances, etc. Rava Rami, Ksiv Yisamach, it says in the it says Yud Shin Mem Ches. Let's put it that way. Pasuk says V'yayin Yisamach Lavav Enosh. But when you look at the letters, you see a Yud Shin Mem Ches. The Karinon Yismach or Yisamach means joy. Zocha Mesamch. If he merits, as we saw before, drinking wine in proper amounts. So it can serve as a source of joy, of happiness for a person. Lo zocha, if he, though, doesn't merit controlling himself and his wine quantity, misham mimoi. That's looking at the word, the letters, yud shin mem ches shmoma, or shin mem being the root of shmoma, desolation. Vahainu dioma rova, it's based on this that Rava says, Chamro v'reichni pikhin, and this ties back to Naaseh Rosh, that you become the head. And Rava has been known to say that wine v'reichni and certain spices have pikhin, have made me sharp. The next word you can see we have in brackets because Rechitza will be dealt with later. On the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, our topic heading, we indicate until Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. It's a rather long discussion. Minayin Lanu, we are going to be looking for Shesicha Rechitza Nilasa Sandal Tash Shamita Nikroim Inui. Now, as we've already discussed, Achila and Shtia, that we've proven that inui in the Torah is deprivation of food, that we discussed in our previous shiur. Today we want to start finding sources for these other activities that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Sicha, rechitza, nilas sandal, tashamita. The sicha is on smearing with anointments, rechitza bathing, nisa sandal going without shoes, and tashamita in intimacy. These are all one is expected to desist desist from these activities. Structurally, take note of the overview. We mentioned that this discussion continues till Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. So in the context of today's Daf Yomi Shir, we're not going to cover everything in this Shir, but Mirz Hashem, the next one, we will. We'll cover it, we'll finish the list. But you see we have Roman numerals running down the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and on those lines, that's where each new activity is introduced. So we have anointing is number one, and Roman number two, rechitza menolan. From where do we know bathing is considered? You know, as the resistance, the abstention from bathing is a fulfillment of Inui. Where do we know that from? And under Roman numeral number 2, there are a few attempts. And they will be listed with diamonds, and we're going to note them as Aleph Beis, and eventually Gimel will be on the lower part of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So it's rather spread out. There's a long bracketed section, though, that interrupts. So we start, now again we pointed out that the word Rechitza is, we put it in brackets because Rechitza is dealt with head on in Roman numeral number 2. So it's, we can de-emphasize it over here. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Rechitza v'sicha menolan dikri inui. Where do we know that they are referred to as inui? And we're going to concentrate right now on sicha, anointment, smearing of oils, lotions, different types of gels that one smears come under the category of sicha. This tichtiv, the posuk says, and the posuk is found in the book of Daniel, Daniel Perek Yud Posuk Gimel. It says, "Lechem chamudos lo achalti ubasar v'yayin lo bo el pi v'soich loy sachti." So in this pasuk, you see a reference to Daniel mentioning that he didn't eat, he didn't drink, and soich loy sachti. We have a small bracketed section. Skip it momentarily. Umenolon dechoshev kinui. Where do we see that the lack of smearing anointments is considered a fulfillment of inui? Where do we see lack of sicha is considered inui? Dichtiv. It says over there in Daniel Perek Yud. In other words, this is another pasuk from the same context of the previously quoted pasuk. First was pasuk Gimel. Here we have pasuk Yud Beis in the same chapter. Dichtiv. It says there, Vayomer Elai, the Almighty communicated to Daniel, and Daniel is telling us, and he said to me, "Al tira Daniel, don't have fear. Ki min hayom harishon asher nosatas lipcho lahavin ulis anos lifnei lekecha nishmu dvorecha vani bosi bidvorecha." The communication to Daniel is through a it appears through an angel. The angel is communicating the thoughts of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Almighty, and we'll see more about this later regarding the angel and who he is and what he means when he says Vani Bosi Bidvarecha. But for our purposes, we have to focus on the markings. We have in Pasuk Gimel Daniel announcing V'soch Lo Sachti, I didn't anoint myself, and in Pasuk Yud Beis, that is acknowledged as Ulehis Anois, Loshen Inui. So that abstention from smearing, from anointing, is called Lehis Anos. That's called Inui. The Gemara continues, Ashkechon Sicha. Okay, so we have found a source for sicha, that the abstention from sicha is called inui. Rechitza minolon, the abstention from bathing, from where do we know that that is called inui? And as we pointed out earlier, and we have this on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivne heading, Chipus Mekoros L'Rechitza D'Nikro Inui. And we also indicate that this goes to Ayin Zayin Omanav, these markings, because number the Gimel diamond is on the lower half of the, maybe a quarter to a third of the way up from the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So again, we want to focus on from where do we know that abstaining from Rechitza is called Inui. Omer Avzutra Rebbe Tuvia, Omer Kro. Vatovoi kemayim bekirboi uchishemen ba'atzmoisav. There's a reference to this. Translating the pasuk is and water enters him, and like it is like oil in his bones. But that's a literal or almost literal translation having almost no meaning. But what we have to do here is make an association between shemen and mayim. Now, shemen is oil. Oil is associated with smearing, anointing. And there is a reference to water. We're going to assume that the pasuk v'tovo kemayim bekirbo means bathing is like anointing. There's the two substances appear in the same pasuk, so they are to be compared to one another, bathing with anointing. And we proved just a couple lines up that anointing is associated with inui. So just like anointing is associated with inui, so to, and when we say, we're speaking in somewhat abbreviated terms, but it means abstention from anointing is inui. So two, abstention from bathing would be inui. The Gemara asks regarding this pasuk, v'emo kishtia, maybe anointing is like drinking, and that this pasuk is not talking at all about bathing. The Gemara says, Dumya de Shemen, the reference to water must be like oil. In what sense? Ma Shemen Mavroi, just like oil is external, it's applied to one's skin. One doesn't drink oil. Af Mayim Mavroi, so too the reference to water must be external, hence bathing. The Gemara asks, Vahatana Ibcha Ka Nasivla. In a Tanaic source, we find an opposite approach taken. In other words, using this very same pasuk, instead of what we just claimed, that water is defined or learned from oil, we're going to see shortly that the way we view oil is actually learned from water. And that will become clear as we go on. But it's important to emphasize the direction things are taking. Just before this question, we wrote this in between the lines. You can see just two lines up. Mayim nilmad mishemen. You see how we wrote that in your Gemara, your Shas Ozer. Water derived from oil. And here the question is, we see the opposite. Oil will be derived from water. And let's continue in the text. V'atana ipcha konasuva. The Tana brings this pasuk in an opposite fashion, this nan. The Tanaic source says, Minayin l'sicha shi kishtia b'yom ha-kippurim. From where do you know that smearing oneself on Yom Kippur is tantamount to drinking? And just like we know that drinking is forbidden on Yom Kippur, and we spent time proving that shtia was b'chal achila. That is at this point, a given. And the question is, how do you know that smearing with oil is like drinking? So the source goes on to say, Afal Pishein Raya Ledover, Zech Ledover, even though there's no explicit proof to that, there is an allusion to it. Shnemar, the pasuk says, Vatovo Yikemayim Bekirboi, Ukeshemen Ba'atzmoisov. So how does the Tana use this pasuk? He uses it to prove his point, namely that oil is derived from water, and the water in this pasuk is drinking. And that was the agenda over here, to show that anointing is like the drinking on Yom Kippur. Well, if that having been said, then it's like you can't have Rav Zutra bar Bituvia arguing with a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source is a higher authority. So the use of a tovo kemayim bekirbo chushemen ka'atzmoisov can't be a water reference to bathing. The pasuk in its reference to water is a reference to the drinking of water. And from that we figure the prohibition of smearing. Well, what are we going to do about our topic? We're looking right now for the issue of bathing. Elo Ravashi, this is Bayes, the second attempt. Rav Ashi says, Rechitza migufe dekro shmia le. We have, first translating that is, Rav Ashi says that the definition or categorizing of rechitza as one who abstains from it as being inui is learned from the posuk itself that is found in Daniel. Dichtiv, it said, v'soich lo sachti. There's a double expression. It doesn't. It could have simply said v'lo sachti. Daniel could have announced, I didn't smear myself, but he says v'lo v'soich lo sachti. It's a double expression, and we have a little star, and you can align this with the star above, and we use some markings above to dash underline that expression v'soich lo sachti. So as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, not only is smearing referred to in the pasuk by Daniel, but the double expression includes bathing. And we saw before, in reference to Daniel, the word ulehis anos. As you can see, we have a very long bracketed section. If you skip the brackets initially, so you would then you come to a point in the lower quarter of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. It reads Ve'iboy Esema Rechitza De'ikri Inui Minolon Mehacha, and hopefully you can get to that point quickly by using our marking our bracket length indicator. You can see where that ends, where the brackets ends. And you see over there this third diamond. And the Gemara will pick up with another source for Rechitza being associated with Inui. That having been said, and having made the structure of the Gemara clear, we can first turn our attention to the bracket section, realizing that we'll get back to a third source for Rechitza being associated with Inui. On the side, we have a a topic heading, and we indicate Besocha Sagraim, because it's such a long bracket section, we're referring to this as the topic within the brackets. Agoda. This is an agadic passage, but more than agadic, it's very it's a very lofty passage. There are things that are referred to here that are of a very divine, lofty, heavenly nature. We are not equipped to elaborate on those topics. We're going to be sticking pretty much to the translation where possible. This section quotes Psukim from the prophet Yechezkel, and Yechezkel was known for his prophecy and visions, heavenly visions. And as we say, we're mortals, and it's very difficult for the human being to comprehend and come to grips with things that are of a totally spiritual nature. That having been said, we will continue with the Gemara. And first we continue with our note on the side. Agodo Shomari Yechezkel. We have an agadic passage featuring a vision of Yechezkel. Shebo Metur Maise. In this vision, there is described an incident in Hamalach Gavriel with the angel Gavriel. She Ekev Maise of Nitzal Am Yisrael Mikloya. Through Gavriel's behavior, through his action, we will see that ended up saving the Jewish people from total destruction. Ketazem muvokan begemora kedei lahasbir ha dechsiv beposik vani posi bedvaracho shemuskeli el. We made the reason that this whole bracketed section is introduced here is because we want to find the explanation of the phrase, Vani Bosi Bidvarecha, that we made reference to earlier. And you can see on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, a double star, you can see above where that is coming from. And it's a reference to the Pasuk in Daniel Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, where Daniel receives a communication from the Malach, and it's going to turn out to be the Malach Gavriel. And the Malach Gavriel says, "Vani bosi bidvorecha." What does that mean? The Gemara, "My vani bosi bidvorecha." Rashi explains a little more that the word bosi means I entered or I re-entered bidvorecha through you or because of you. Rashi explains that where the Gemara's question is, where do we see his being chased out, that he has to re-enter? So the question is, what brought about Gavriel's departure or exile, if you will, that makes this pasuk of relevance, that he, in which he says, "And I came back bidvorecha, because of you." The Gemara continues. Hainu dichtiv. There is a pasuk from Yechezkel where Yechezkel was in Bovel when he was having this vision, and in this vision the prophet experiences transport to Jerusalem, to the Beis HaMikdash, and he sees in the Beis HaMikdash what's described now. V'shiva mish mizikne Beis Yisrael. There were seven elders of Israel. V'yazniyo ben shofan oimed b'seichem. This gentleman Yazniyo was standing amongst them. Oimdim lefnehem. V'ish maktartoy biyodo. V'asar onan haktoris oile. And each man had a censer from which smoke of incense was rising. Uksiv vayishlach tav nesiyad vayikocheni betzisis roshi vatisosi ruach bein haoretz bein hashamayim. And Yechezkel describes how a form of a hand grabbed him from his locks of hair and carried him between heaven and earth. Vatoveyosi yushalaimo b'maras alekim el pesach shar pnimis hapunet zafona, was brought to Jerusalem, to the inner gate facing the north. Asher Shom Moshav Seimel Hakino HaMakne. The pasuk describes that there was located there an image. In looking at the Meforshim on Tanakh, it seems that they had erected a of course all this is part of a vision, but in the vision, it seems they have erected a statue and something idolatrous, something infuriating. Seimel is an image, hakino, that arouses the wrath of the Almighty. Yechezkel continues describing his journey that he experienced during his vision. He says, "And I was brought into the Chotzer Beis Hashem, Hapnimus, an inner courtyard, Vini Pesach Echal Hashem, Bein Ha'ulam, Bein HaMizbeach, Ke'esrim Chamisha Ish." And between the altar and the antechamber leading into the Hechal, the Ulam, in that gap were 25 men, Achoyreim El Hechal Hashem, Bneim Kedmo. Their backs were toward the Hechal, the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash. The Hechal contains the menorah and the mizbeach and the oroin and the shulchan. Their backs were toward the Hechal, and their faces, them kedmo, they were facing east. Vehemo mishtachavisom kedmo lashemesh, and they were bowing eastward toward the sun. That is a highly disrespectful act. There's more to it as we go on. Mimashma shenem ufnem kedma, from the fact that the pasuk says they were facing east, eni yodeh shachorem el echal Hashem, doesn't it follow, isn't it obvious that if they were facing east, We know that when you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you enter from the east and walk westward. And then as you're walking in a westerly direction, you're approaching the Heichal Hashem. So just by saying that they were facing east, I know that their backs were to the Heichal Hashem. Why does the Pesuk have to spell out that their backs were El Heichal Hashem? The reason for that is the extra words are hinting or alluding to an extra level of degradation. Malameshu Purinatsmon, they revealed their posteriors, Vayamatrizin Klapei Mata, and this is a euphemism, Klapei Mata, I mean, toward the down. It really means Klapei Mala. They were defecating in the direction of the Hecha, which is an act of extreme depravity and degradation. Omar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Michael. The Almighty turns to the angel Michael. And the angel Michael is said to be the angel in charge of or overseeing the people of Israel. So the Almighty says to him, Michael, Sarchu Moscha, your nation has gone astray. It's gone off track. They've gone bad. Omar lefonav v'nishalom dayu latovim shebohem. The angel says to the Almighty, isn't it enough that you have the good ones amongst them? Omar lo, the Almighty responds, ani sorif oisam v'latovim shebohem. I'm going to burn them and the pious and the good ones amongst them. In learning a Gemara like this, one shudders, and it arouses imagery of things of, I dare say, of a recent historical nature as well. The Almighty, when expressing his wrath, and this is a function of hundreds of years. It's the Almighty is very, as referred to as Erech HaPayim, long suffering. He does not become enraged quickly. It's over a long period of time. If you study the Tanakh, you can see that many hundreds of years idolatrous behavior was present in the Jewish people. And here we're talking about a time period that represents the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses his consternation, I'm going to get rid of all of them. Miyad vayomer el ho'ish levush habadim. The Almighty turns to the one cloaked in linens. And Rashi says over here that levush habadim is a reference to Gavriel. Levush habadim, Rashi at the top line says, Hu Gavriel b'sefer Daniel. The connection to Sefer Daniel is very important in the larger picture here, because we made reference before to the Pasuk Vani Bosi Bidvarecha. This was from the book of Daniel, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, where Daniel mentioned that he told me, and he was referring to the angel Gabriel. So this story continues with after seeing the Almighty's wrath, and we are in right now in Sefer Yechezkel, we're in Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, where the Almighty addresses the Ish Levush Habadim, and we said that's Gabriel. Vayomer Bo El Beinois Lagalgel El Tachas Lakruv. And the Almighty instructs Gabriel to go between the Galgal. Galgal is it's a heavenly spiritual force known as the Ofanim. In the Davening, we read about the Ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh. So Galgal, also in a simple translation, is a wheel, like the word Ofan. But it's a reference, of course, to something of a very lofty spiritual nature, something way up there above the realm of even angels. So the Almighty turns to Gabriel and says, go between El Benas, the Galgal, El Tachas, La Kruv. Go to that location between the Galgal and the Kruv. Kruv, in English, sometimes referred to as a cherub. Umale chofnecho gachleish mibinos lakruvim. And you fill your hands, in other words, you, Gabriel, fill up chofnecho, a double handsful. We've seen this word quite a lot earlier in this Masechta. We saw this with the Kohen Gadol and taking his double handsful of incense to bring into the Kodshei Kodshim. Here, the angel is being instructed to fill his handsful with coals. In other words, the angel Gabriel is instructed to directly scoop up a handful of coals, uzrok aloir vayavo leinoi, and scatter the coals representing fire and destruction over the city. Destroy the city, and I want to be able to see it. Miad, immediately following that, vayishlach hakruv es yodoi. Now notice there's some very, very fine points and differences to note here and what the original instructions were. What does it say here? It says, Vayishlach akruv es yodo migbinois lekruvim el ha'esh asher beinois hakruvim. The kruv reached his hand into the coals. Vayisa vayiten el chofni. And the kruv transferred the coals into the hands full of the levush habadim. We saw before that was Gabriel. It appears that true, Gabriel received instructions, I dare say clear instructions, you scoop up the coals. Gabriel turned to the kruv and said, kruv, would you get me the coals? So that there's an extra stage here that was not part of the original instructions. Omar Rav Chona Bar Bizna, Omar Rav Shimon Chasida. Ilmole lo nitzdanenu gicholim miyodoi shel kruv liyodoi shel Gabriel. If not for this extra stage whereby the coals cooled off from the time that the kruv had taken them and transferred them to the hands of Gabriel, as opposed to Gabriel taking them directly, if not for that added time and hence cooling off of the coals, lo nishtayu misem shisrael soru polit. The term soni misem shisrael is a euphemism, because translated literally means the enemies of Israel, but in this context it means the Jewish people. And the Gemara just said that if not for that cooling off involved from handing of the coals from the kruv's hands to Gabriel, there would be no Jews left. There would be no remnant, sorry to pull it, no remnant or refugee left from the Jewish people. Uksiv Vineo ish levush habadim asher hakesis bemosnov meshiv dover lemor. And behold, Gabriel, kesis bemosnov is an inkwell, something that would characterize a scribe. So that the angel Gabriel is described as a scribe, and it says he meshiv dover lemor, he reports back. Mission accomplished. Osisi kasher tzivisani. And he says to the Almighty, I've done what you instructed me to do. Well, we spent some time pointing out that he didn't do exactly how he's instructed to do. We'll go on in the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Be'isa Shah, Otsi l'Gavriel me'achorei apargoi, u'machyu shisin pulsei denura. At that moment, Gabriel was removed. He was taken out from behind the pargod. Pargod is a type of mechitza representing, for our purposes, he was removed from the inner sanctum, and he was mochiu. He was beaten with shisin 60 pulsei denura, 60. Bolts of fire. Omru Lei, the heavenly court said to Gabriel, "Hey, lo avdis, if you didn't do as you were commanded, if you simply stayed away from the whole coal fire issue, okay, that we could understand." Rashi says on the second line from the top, "V'hoyinu matzdikim oischa," we would have justified your lack of cooperation. Yeah, that you were figuring maybe the Almighty will have second thoughts and he'll cool off from his wrath. However, you didn't ignore the instruction. You didn't simply desist altogether from the coals. If already you did, get coals. Why didn't you do as per your instructions? You, as Rashi says, you were to take the coals directly from between the Kruvim and the Galgal. And yet you told the Kruv to bring them, to extend them to you. And a second problem we have with you is V'o de Avdis Loch. And now that you did do that, Lesloch, do you not hold Ein Meshivin ala Kalkola, that you're not supposed to be the bearer of evil tidings? In other words, we saw in the Gemara just a few lines above where the angel Gabriel reports back, "I did what you told me to do." In other words, I wrought destruction. Well, that's bearing evil tidings. And there's a rule that we learn from Maseches Megillah involving Esther and this story with the Hasoch, Ein Meshivin ala Kalkola. And you did. You brought back the evil tidings, the bad tidings. They were very upset, as you can see, with Gabriel. Asyuhu ledubiel soro de parsoi. There's an angel, Dubiel. He was brought in. And he was the ministering angel over the Persians. So he represents the Persians. The Ukme Beharike. And he was put in his place. In other words, this angel, Sar as an angel, was brought in as a replacement for the now exiled Gabriel. Veshimesh Esrim Ve'echod Yom. And he occupied that position for 21 days. Hainu dichtiv, and it is that which it says in Daniel, Perek Yud Posuk Yud Gimel, Gabriel says to Daniel, this is Gabriel speaking to Daniel, V'sar Malchus Poras Oimeid Linegdi Esrim Ve'echod Yoim, the ministering angel of Poras, of Persia, stood instead of me 21 days. V'nei Michoel Echad Asorim Rishonim Bo Lazreini, and behold, Michoel, one of the ministering angels of the first high level ministering angels, came to help me. V'ani Nosati Shom Eitzel Malchei Paras, and I was left there with the kings of Persia. Yahavu Le Esrin V'chad Malchei U'Parvisa Demashik. The entrance of the Persian ministering angel enabled them to take over 21 kingdoms and ports. Parvas are ports. Even the word, if you look at it carefully, the phonetic appearance of the word parvasa and port are very similar. Omar, the ministering angel of Poras, requested Ksivu li Yisrael b'achargo. I want you to assign the Jewish people to be beholden to me in tax payments. A cargo is the name of a head tax. I want them to pay me taxes. Kosfule. So the heavenly court assigned the Jewish people as to be subordinate, subservient to the Persian government. Kesivuli Rabbonon Bachargo, and the Tsar of Poras wants the rabbinic sages to also pay taxes.
Kosfulei, and he was granted that request too. Be'idna debole mechtam, at the point that they were going to sign the decree, making it official and maybe irreversible, Omar Gavriel me'achorei apargud v'omar, Gavriel arose from behind the pargod, from behind the wall, claiming that it's wrong to tax the chachomim, to have the chachomim being given over to the hands, to become subservient to the hands of the nations of the world. In this case, to be subservient to Poras. The Omar, and Gavriel said, Shov lochem mashkimei kum, me'achrei sheves ochlei lechem wa'atzovim, kein yitein li di do sheno. This requires further explanation, and Rashi provides that. We are looking at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Shov lochem, klomar. This means to say, klum hagunim ha'umois, lios ha'chachom nesurim bi'odom. Are the nations of the world so lofty? Are they so fitting to have the sages given over to them? Valo hamikra mishapchon. The pasuk praises the sages, and now Rashi makes reference to something that we'll see shortly in the Gemara itself. But Rashi says, "Shafne shosem and adas shino minehem." Even the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim chase sleep or avoid sleep from overtaking their eyes. The Gemara will point out that this is a merit that the wives of Talmidei Chachamim have, that they know that their husbands learn Torah till late hours and often out of town, and they wait up at night to greet their husbands. So, hence this reference to even their wives, minadidois shenam enehem, shov lochem balei umenus. Here Rashi explains the posuk that shov for naught, shov lochem balei umenus hamashkimu machrim lumlachtom ochle lechem be'etzev ubigia. People, artisans, people who go to work often wake up very early, stay late hours in order to make money, in order just to make money to buy their food, and it's with a lot of exertion and etzev is pes, strain and pain and sadness, all to make money, all to support themselves. But ken yitain hazonas ha'olam mizonas ha'parnasa lidal shena lemishenodat shena b'shvilo. The Almighty, who is the Zon Es HaOlam, the one who supports the world, we say this in the Birchas HaMazon, HaZon Es HaOlam Kulo B'Tuvo B'Chein B'Chesed V'Rachamim, he who supports and maintains the world, he gives support to the ones who keep sleep away from their eyes for his, capital H, for his sake. So that what the Pasuk is describing, it's describing Talmidei Chachamim, and we'll see shortly their wives also, that they exert themselves in service of Hashem, spending long hours at learning Torah and toiling in Torah, and they are supported no less than people who toil in non-Torah and mundane matters. This Pasuk is a clear praise of the Talmidei Chachamim. And the angel Gavriel is saying that here, look how they are praised, how they give of themselves to you, Almighty. How can you imagine them, how can you think to give them over to the Umois Ha'olam? The Gemara continues, My kein yitain li di do shena, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. The Gemara is asking, what does that phrase mean? So Rabbi Yitzchok explains, the Pasuk is referring to the wives of Torah scholars. They avoid sleep. They delay or defy their fatigue in this world in order to, as we said before, to greet their husbands who are coming home only late at night from a long day of Torah toil and learning, coming from out of town. And in this merit, v'zochos l'olam haba, they, the wives of the Tamachonim, merit the world to come. So with all of this, v'lo hishkichu alav, he was not heeded. In other words, Gavriel's argument to spare the Tamichum from becoming subordinate and subservient to the to these Gentile forces was left unheeded. Omar Lefonov. Well, Gavriel doesn't give up, and he says, Ribbono Shalom, Im yu kol chachmei u'mosel bekaf mozaim, v'doniel ish chamudois bekaf shnia. What's described here is a balance scale. And he says, if all the chachmei umos ha'olam, all the wise, the scholar, the scholars of the general population were placed on one bowl of a balance scale, and Doniel, the your desired one, ish chamudos, the kafshnia, was placed on the second, the other plate or other bowl of the balance scale. Lo nimsa machriya es kulam, would he not weigh down all the rest of them? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what Gavriel was doing was reminding, so to speak, Kivyachol, the Almighty. You know, when we speak about our Talmidei Chachamim, amongst them is the likes of Doniel, and one Doniel has more merit, might very well be more wisdom, than all the Chachmei Umos HaOlam put together. That impressed the Almighty. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi hu zeh shemelamed zchus habonai? Who is it that is trying to seek the merit of my children, of the Jewish people? Omar Lefonov. Omru Lefonov. So it was said to the Almighty, Ribbono shel Olam, Gavriel, it is the angel Gavriel. Omar Lohem, so the Ribbono shel Olam announced, Yavo, let him come in. This basically is, let him come back. If you recall, we opened up this entire bracketed section with the question of when was he exiled that he has to be told to come back? And here is that coming back. Shenema vani bosi bidvarecha. Now, as far as the when was he sent out, so we saw that emphasized earlier, when, and you could see it was dashed, underlined in the narrow lines of the Gemara, the last third of the narrow lines. We also have an arrow indicating to go back to Ayin Vav Amud Beis at that point. We didn't say this then, but if you use that arrow, this that points you back to the Vani Basi B'Dvarecha, where we had asked the question, at what point was he chased out? That was the point he was chased out. And now is the point that he is returned. And that's what we're reading. Omar Lahu, so the Almighty said, Le'ul, let him come in. And we have to explain, though, when he says, Vani Basi B'Dvarecha, this is Gavriel saying to Doniel, I was returned, Bossi, I came in, or I came back, Bidvorecha, through that I spoke about you. And that was what we saw just two lines above in the Gemara with the balance scale, how Doniel, as Gavriel pointed out, would balance out all the Umos HaOlam, weigh them down, in fact. Omar Luhu, we read, Le'ul, so let him come in. I Luhu, they brought in Gavriel. He, Gavriel, noticed that the Persian ministering angel, Dubiel, was holding the igrise, the edict, in his hands. And we spoke about his request to have the Jewish people and the scholars, the Talmidei Chachamim, to be assigned to him, to pay taxes to him, to Poras. So he... Gavriel noticed Doniel holding this edict in his hands, Bal Lemirma Mine, And the government wanted to grab it away from him. If we be successful in grabbing away the edict, so then the taxation will not set in. And you know what? Bol'ah. He swallowed it. Some say that the edict was written, but it wasn't signed. Others say it was actually signed. But as he swallowed it, it got erased. It's as a result of this that in the Persian kingdom, there are those that pay, that are taxed, and there are those that aren't taxed. Well, literally, there are those that pay the taxes and those that don't pay the taxes. This is, in other words, what we see, a terrestrial manifestation of that which took place under these heavenly spiritual circumstances. The Pasuk says, in Daniel, again, focusing on Gavriel, Vani Yotze Vine Sar Yovan Ba. He says, I then left and I noticed the angel, ministering angel of the Greeks entering. Evi Evi Veleko de Ashgach Bey. Evi Evi, Rashi points out, Soak Vitsovach Gavriel Alzos Shaloim Shulu Malchi Yovan Bisrael. He cried and beseeched that that Yovan should not be given control over the Jewish people, but he was not heeded. And as we know historically, the Greeks eventually they defeated the Persians and gained supremacy over the land of Israel, and they had a very great influence, the Hellenist period that set in, and eventually the famous Hanukkah story and all that that entails. But they did gain control for quite a while, and that's what is referred to here. Veleko d'ashpe, Gabriel's cries were not heeded. But since we have a diamond gimel, and we just want to, I know we've gone over our Dafyomi quota by quite a bit. Nevertheless, to finish the topic of Rechitza, V'Boyes Emo, Rechitza Dekri Inui Menolan, another possibility, or if you prefer, you can say that Rechitza is called Inui, the abstention from Rechitza is referred to as Inui. From where do we know that? Mehocha, from the following, Dichtiv. The Pasuk found in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chof Vav. This is describing the end of David HaMelech's life and Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo taking over from his father. And there were a number of figures that Shlomo was going to take vengeance from. And included in them is Evyosser. Evyosser was a Kohen Gadol in the time of David HaMelech, but toward the end he defected from David and his kingdom in favor of David's son, who was acting in rebellion. So it says, "Ulevyoser hakayin omar hamelech ansois lech al sodecha ki ish mavesato v'yomazel lo amisecha." Shlomo says he chases Evyoser to a place called Ansos. Go there to your field. You are a dead man, but I'm not going to kill you today. Ki nosos, and why am I going to spare you? Ki nososas aroin Hashem lifnei David avi. You carried the holy ark in front of David. V'chi is anesa b'chol asher is ane ovi. Now here we dashed on the line the key expressions. We see his anesa b'chol asher is ane ovi, because you stuck with my father David upon the earlier rebellion of Avshalom. We made reference to the rebellion of David's son. There was a second son, Adoniel, who rebelled at the very end of David HaMelech's life. But prior to that, several years before that, Avshalom had rebelled, and during that rebellion, so Avyosu remained faithful to David. And Shlomo acknowledges that how he remained, how Avyosu remained faithful, that he participated in the inuyim that David experienced. So, and what does it say about David? Uksiv beba David, ki amru ha'am ro'ev v'oyev v'tzomei bamidbar. Describing David, it says he was oyef, amongst other things. We dashed underline that word. Ro'ev is milechem, famished. Tzomei is mimaim, was parched with thirst because of no water. And oyef, mimai. What is oyef? Oyef from what? Lav merechitza. Is it not a reference to lack of bathing? Oyef literally is fatigued. So we would explain fatigue because of no bathing. And in the context of David, we see inui. David experienced inui, and that is translated as no bathing. The Gemara says, Vidilma mini'ila sasandol. Maybe oyef means that he was shoeless. Elo omer v'yitzchok mehocha. From the following, we're going to see that oyef is a reference to bathing. It says, Mayim korim al nefesh ayefa. So you see oyef here, ayefa, and you have water. That's cold water on a tired soul. Vidilma mishtia. Maybe this pasuk is a reference to the drinking of cold water as a means of reviving the spirit. So the Gemara says no. Miksiv benefesh ayefa. Does it say in the spirit, inside, which means internal, like drinking, where you take the water into your body? Al nefesh ayefa ksiv. It says on, so that the mayim karim, the cold waters are going on the nefesh ayefa. So ayefa is associated with external waters, bathing, and David HaMelech was described as his ane, as experiencing inui. And how was he experiencing inui? Because he didn't bathe. And that would be our source for rechitza, the lack thereof, being called inui. As you can see, the Gemara goes on with the other actions the Mishnah expects of us to maintain on Yom Kippur, means lack of wearing shoes, and at the bottom we have intimacy. Is lack of intimacy, abstaining from that, or that we want to know from where do we know that they are called inui. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.